Hi, I'm Burke.
I'm Daniel.
And this is Tequila.
The show where we drink a lot.
Yeah, that's about it. And here we go.
Fuck. Okay, 3, 2, 1, bam.
Oh.
Oh. Yeah, this Patron. So Patron is like known for being absolute shit, by the way.
Yeah, I know. Ooh.
This is not going to go well. Okay. Let's not waste time. We have topics to get through before I get drunk as shit.
Yeah, and I'm already like partway there.
Yeah, you are. Okay, first topic. We haven't done an episode in a little bit, so we're catching up on things. One of the things I wanted to talk about, if you don't know me, I'm a huge fucking Pokemon nerd. In fact, I'm wearing a Pokemon shirt right now, just a giant Pikachu.
I'm not wearing a shirt at all.
Oh, ladies. Shit. This guy. So I'm bringing up Pokemon because I want to talk about the starters for the new Pokemon Sun and Moon that are coming out November 18th of 2016, which is my fucking birthday. I am pumped. God, awesome birthday gift, Pokemon. Couldn't ask for more. Anyway, it's also the 20th anniversary of Pokemon, so they're releasing these games kind of early in the cycle. Anyway, they released, I think it was like 2 weeks ago? It was either 2 or 3 weeks ago, the starters for this Pokemon Moon or Sun and Moon, this series that's coming out soon, the new generation, and they are as follows. The grass starter is Rowlet, a grass owl, grass flying type that is cute as shit and has a little bow tie. And then
I feel like Growlit just isn't that creative compared to the other two because there's already an owl Pokemon.
There are more than one owl Pokemon, I think. I mean, you're right. There's Hoot Hoot and then the evolved form that I don't remember what it's called. So yes, those owl Pokemon do exist. Your opinion was not that of the internet. The internet fucking fell in love with Rowlet.
Dude, my favorite is the seal.
So the first time I watched it, I was like I went from left to right. So you got Rowlet, the grass flying. You got Litten, the fire cat that looks pretty cool. And then you have Popplio, the water clown seal thing. And so when I was looking at the trailer for the first time, I was like, from left to right, you know, Rowlet, cool, Litten, cool. And then I was like, what the fuck is this derp seal?
Yeah, man. That's what I love about it. That and the name is pretty creative.
That's fair. I do like that it's kind of like the name is kind of like puppy implying.
And whereas like Litten just sounds like a drunk ass raver decided to name a kitten.
I love that they use lit though.
This kitten is lit.
To be fair, in the last generation, Generation 6, X and Y, they introduced a fire series and the fucking of Pokemon, and the base of that fire series of evolutions is called Litleo, because it's a little fire land. So I don't know how original the lit prefix is. They've used it before. That being said, I do think it's fucking cool. I think they're all cool. I traditionally go water starter, but when I first saw Derp Seal, I was like, fuck, I don't know if I could do Derp Seal. And then he's grown on me. But Derp Seal has grown on me.
What I also like is that it looks like his torso is completely flat.
Wait, what?
Seriously, just look up. I think there's only like one or two pictures of him out there. But the one I've seen, it looks like his torso is completely flat. It might just be a trick of perception, but...
Yeah, I see what you mean. It's the way he's drawn, yeah.
Yeah.
The one where he's, like, raising his flipper up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'd be down for, like, a Paper Mario seal.
It's just so funny, like, everyone hates Popplio. Like, the internet, when Pokemon did their, they did on Twitter a survey of like who likes which one. Rowlet got something like 38%, and then Litten got somewhere like 30-something%, which left Popplio at very little. Not many people liked him.
You realize that you just said one third, and then he got very little.
Well, I mean, like it's gonna be a little less than 30. It's gonna be like 20-something.
Well, that doesn't sound like it's too far off.
I mean, I don't know. Normally, when Pokemon, since they have such a broad reach, puts out something like that, it normally goes pretty close to like exactly a third.
That's true.
There's a lot of awesome fan art of them like playing around. Anyway, so there was also somewhat of a leak that I don't know if Nintendo did on purpose or not, but Nintendo may have confirmed the secondary typing for the other two Pokemon. So what had happened was that so on their website, on the Japanese website for Sun and Moon, you can look at the icons that are under each of the Pokemon. And if you inspect the source code and look at the links for the PNGs under the Pokemon for the typing, you can see that they have all the other types listed too.
Oh, shit.
Like you know, like PNG 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way to 6. And so it goes in order as far as how they numbered it, 1 through 6. It goes grass, flying, ground, fire, water, fighting. So for sure, Popplio is going to end up evolving into a water fighting. And then that ground, because of the way it's ordered grass, flying, ground, fire.
It'll be a fire, ground, evolution of Litten.
It could be either fire, ground, evolution of Litten, or Rowlet loses the flying and gains the ground because the ground is number 3 and the fire is PNG number 4. So that part, no one really knows. But I found it interesting. I like speculating on what their types will be. I do like a water fighting starter. I think that's fucking badass because the only other water fighting type in the entire game is Poliwrath and Keldeo.
Man, I really think they should have gone with fire fighting for the fire starter.
Oh my god. that's a whole fucking...
I know.
God, yeah. I know you know.
All right. Did you see that image I sent you?
Yes. Yes, I did.
Okay, I'm glad.
Yes, I did. I'm
really glad.
It's fucking ridiculous.
Anyways, so Bangfit?
Yeah. I'll let you take the lead on this.
I mean, I don't know that much about it besides it's essentially an app that lets you, it's the equivalent of Fitbit for your penis.
Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. So what I got out of it, apparently Pornhub is coming out with this app/service called Bangfit, where they'll have like Taibo style pornos that you follow along with and fuck to get into shape.
That's, man, I think that's an absolutely beautiful idea. And there's something called a Bangfit band. It's a belt you put on.
Because nothing says, my pussy is wet for you, like a Bangfit belt.
I think it's going to be the fanny pack of the 21st century.
Woo!
I'm wearing my Bangfit to the bar, ladies.
Dang, want to come home and sexercise?
My daily thrust count is at 3,000. Meanwhile, it's like a montage of this guy thrusting in every public location.
Okay, yeah, possible. When I heard about this, I thought it was a joke. Just like when I heard about Pornhub doing VR porn.
The Pornhub VR ad is so fucked up, man.
With the old man in the erection?
Yeah, the like son gifting his dad VR porn and like them shaking hands over his conspicuous boner.
Okay, yeah. Okay, let me visualize it for all two listeners. It's the son, the father and son shaking hands after the son gives the father the VR set, and then it pans down from the handshake and their torsos to their face, and the dad has an erection, and it's awful.
I've never met someone who was like, that's a very clever ad. No, it's usually like, oh god. Oh, God, who would do that? Who thought of that?
It was pretty bad. It's like VR porn, Dad. Or it's like porn, but VR. It was bad. It was awful. I hated it.
I mean, yeah, Bangfit sounds cool, though. I'd try it.
Would you?
I mean, not really. I don't want to wear the belt.
Oh, God damn it. It sounds like a fucking joke. It sounds like an April Fool's joke.
I don't know, man. Pornhub VR did. I think that company is just on the cutting edge of meme-based advertising.
Also, like, okay. Wait, is the shot coming up?
Yeah, it's time.
No, okay.
Yeah. He says with a lilt in his voice.
No. Okay, I'm preparing it.
Prepare your body.
Prepare your body for me. Alright, you count down and I'll do it.
3, 2, 1. Kill yourself.
Oh. Oh, baby.
Oh.
Well, that was a thing.
Oh, God.
Okay, what I wanted to say was, can we talk about how, like, VR porn is retarded unless it's an orgy scene? Like, with a 360 cam? Because, like, who wants to see, like, the rest of the room? Like, oh, that's nice trimming you have on your walls. The fix is in the complete opposite direction. Why am I looking at the wall?
I think the angle that they're pulling with this is more, like, immersive 3D porn than, like oh, I can look at that potted plant in the corner of the room.
That's all I think is the fucking, like, looking at the rest of the room. I don't give a fuck about the
Well, room. I think partly, too, it's like the people who rent out porn sets wanted it. Like, you know, like, have you ever noticed in porn, in a lot of, like, the high-budget ones, they rent beautiful mansions in, like, Southern California for those sets?
Yeah, yeah.
And I just feel like they're underappreciated, man.
Yeah, fair enough.
Like, I really want to notice the vaulted ceilings, a beautiful view of downtown Los Angeles. That's what I fucking get off to.
Oh my God, that's a beautiful frame on that picture of the family over there.
Oh, man. Of the picture of the family who are not the people sucking my dick. Or even worse, they are all sucking my dick.
Oh.
There's a market for that.
No pedo.
Hey, man.
Oh.
Nose goes.
Anyway,
so I guess that segues well into the Vive.
Go.
Which
I know you want to rant. I know. Go rant. Go.
Well, I mean, it's been too long.
You fuck.
What? Well, it's been too long for me to be, like, really ranty about it, but I feel like I've got a more balanced perspective now. And the balanced perspective is that it's fucking amazing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why is that?
So basically, I think the Vive succeeded where Oculus is going to fail, because it really does what VR should be by creating an immersive, movement-based, room-scale experience. So, like, the concept of the Oculus is really cool, and it was really the, like, innovator and prototype for all future VR. But, the Vive really justifies the extra price tag it has over the Oculus with those motion controllers and the base stations. Every game I played for it that has the VR, like, full room scale experience
has been
unreal in how immersive it is. Like, just being able to walk around and interact with things, it really actually skews your sense of reality. And yes, I have tried VR porn.
Wait, so what
it is really weird.
Yeah, okay. That is really weird. Okay. Describe the porn that you watched. Now we have to go. This has become Porn Keela. Go.
All right. So I've tried out, like, a POV beej and
beej.
Yeah, it was a beej and suck and fuck scene. And then Lindsay tried one out, my girlfriend.
Uh-huh.
And that was, like, this fucking bizarre scene where the viewer role plays a female corpse. But not really.
What?
It's just not really. It's just the video is taken from the point of view of a woman who doesn't move at all, and it just seems so bizarre.
Oh, okay, I get it.
So, like, yeah, you know, all VR porn is POV.
Right.
So far, at least, from the Pornhub VR stuff. And so for the dude side, it's like you're laying down or you're sitting in a chair and lean back, and then women are doing things to you. But it really gives you an idea of how weird porn is when you're put into a woman.
So, like, okay, hypothetically, I'm watching a POV scene and there's a blowjob happening, and I look down, the blowjob's happening. What's there when I look up? The ceiling?
Yeah. Well, okay, so some of these movies are like full 360 porn. You can turn around and see like the window.
Why?
Yeah, man. All right. You know what? I don't know. But most of them are like 180 degree or less field of view.
Okay.
And all you can see really is in front of you, which is this. Another interesting thing that this is reminding me of is that the scale is really fucked up. Because you're viewing everything from the scale of a camera, not the scale of two human eyes.
Right.
Like, the camera lenses are much closer together than human eyes are. So you feel like you're getting your dick sucked by a gigantress. It's really strange. The women look like they're 8 or 9 feet tall.
Oh, man, that sounds like my kind of woman.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, by extension, your penis looks like it's 1.5 feet.
I mean, that's the way it is in normal porn anyway.
Yeah, I mean, who doesn't have 1.5-foot penis? Am I right?
Okay, this guy.
Yeah. Anyway, besides the porn, all of the experiences I've had with it are pretty neat, man. And honestly, the like
what
the most amazing one I've had so far is really Valve putting out The Lab, which is this free VR demo that ships with the Vive, and it's incredible.
What is the demo?
Huh?
What is it? What's the demo?
Well, it's essentially a collection of 8 or 9 different environments that are accessed through a common overworld.
Okay.
That is the, it's set in the Portal universe, right? So you're playing an Aperture Science test dummy that's dipping into different alternate dimensions. And so there's just a million different little things, and they're held together by the common, how do I put this? Have you ever seen the ads for Portal 2 that they put out right around when it was coming out?
No.
They're like those little stick figure men, kind of?
Nope.
Well.
Sorry.
It's going to be hard to explain, I guess. Yeah, essentially they're all tied together by being influenced by the Portal universe, are involved in it somehow, except for like one or two of them.
So it's like, there's what, archery, what stood out? Like, what experience stood out? Like, if you had a what like 5 second or 10 second experience or however many second experience?
For me, it would be the archery. There's like this. Okay. It's essentially you're defending a cartoonish castle from invading stick figures that are trying to assault your gate, and you pick up a bow and knock an arrow and shoot it, and it is the most incredibly natural thing. Like, it, you don't have to, there's no tutorial, you don't have to sort of get your senses together.
Right.
Within the first two shots, you're shooting it completely naturally, right where you want.
That's pretty sick.
Yeah. And the other one for me was probably, it was the human body x-ray, where you essentially have a skeleton in front of you that's a product of an MRI scan. And using one of your controllers, you can sort of, like, slip a cross-section plane through it. So you can view a cross-section of any part of the body that you want.
That's awesome. That sounds like a really interesting application.
Yeah, it's amazing. And then for Lindsay, my girlfriend, and her friends, there were a few games that stood out for them more than me. One of them was like, they have this little robot dog that you can play fetch with in various like really cool environments, like on top of a mountain or in a really wide open field that gives you a great sense of perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And they just loved it. That and this sort of arcade game that you play in 3D where you
wait, okay, I'm sorry, go back. Describe this animal again.
It's like if you attach legs to a slinky and gave it an eye, a single eye on the front, and it runs around, barks at you.
So nothing like the slinky petted dog from Toy Story. We're talking like,
yeah, it's exactly the dog from Toy Story now that you bring it up.
Okay, okay. You made it sound like some sort of Frankenstein.
No. I mean, it's kind of like the dog from Toy Story. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, okay.
I mean, he barks. He'll, like, try and fetch sticks that you throw or really anything else that you throw. It's a really neat experience.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. That, and there's this sort of arcade game. It's the best way I could describe it is What's the retro game where you play a spaceship that's shooting at aliens Galaga that are invading? Huh?
Galaga.
Galaga. It's like Galaga in 3D. And you're basically holding your ship. Yeah, you're holding your ship and you point it at the enemies and really, like, it's pretty fluid. You point it at them to destroy them.
So the what is the control mechanism like? What does it look like? I don't know.
There's no universal control mechanism. You have these two controllers in your hands. Uh-huh. They're a bit like guns in how you hold them.
Uh-huh.
Like they have these tilted controller handles. Mm-hmm. They have a trigger and a thumb pad, much like the ones on the Steam controller. It doubles as a trackpad that can click. And then it has this big bulbous ring mounted at the top that is just chock full of sensors. And that interacts with the base stations to provide positioning data. Also, shot.
Wait, I have a timer going, actually.
Well, I mean, we started 6 seconds after the episode started, and it's now shot time. Yeah, there you go.
I just wanted that to go off. Let me pour this nonsense.
Right. You and your Patron, you fucking tequila snob.
Snob.
It all tastes like shit to me.
Alright.
I thought I might have a taste for tequila after we'd done this podcast a couple times, but this is like episode 5, and I still despise it.
It's like 7, bruh.
Oh, God.
Anyway, this is the 7th one we've done. I don't know if it's going to be the 7th one we publish. Whatever.
3, 2, 1, shoot! Oh God!
Yeah, I'm also not only am I doing Patron, but I'm also doing Añejo, which is the aged Patron, which is not my cup of tequila.
Oh, dude, I would trade you any day of the week for Blanco.
You don't like Blanco?
No, not really. I mean, I just prefer Añejo because I preferred barrel aged shit to begin with.
Fair enough. Fair enough, sir.
I've got a sneezy coming.
Don't do it. Don't sneeze. Oh, wow. You sound like Mario jumping when you sneeze.
Achoo!
Okay,
so sound like Link swinging his sword.
No, you make yourself sound way cooler than no, that's not how you sneeze. That sounds like a grandpa having a hernia. That doesn't sound like Link.
Oh, God! Get my medicine!
Yeah, that sounds like a hernia right there.
Get my hernia pillow!
So my only experience with VR was playing with Google Cardboard and New York Times VR. I got one of those $30, little Google Cardboard sets. And, I mean, that's pretty fun, but this sounds like fucking next level shit.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, if you took the Google Cardboard functionality to its logical conclusion. So you still get the screen door effect, which is like the big thing for me that killed Google Cardboard and didn't let me use it more than once or twice.
What? I don't know what that means.
It's where you can see the pixel and subpixel grid.
Oh, I see.
Yep. Yeah. It's not pronounced at all when you use the Vive. Like, it's really a mild thing. I've heard it's even better with the Oculus, but it's still there. It's somewhat noticeable if you're looking for it especially.
Okay, gotcha.
But I mean, with, you know, even though I have a Nexus 6, which had, like, an extremely high resolution display, Google Cardboard still had a really bad screen door effect. But nonetheless, it's amazing. Yeah, it's the level of immersion. I remember thinking within the first like 3 or 4 hours that I had started using it that this is sort of like where entertainment is going to end up. Like for the vast majority of people, this is sort of the end game of combining modern PC gaming with something like the Wii, which has a really intuitive, easy to use and consumer-friendly interface.
You mean Wall-E is happening? That's what you mean.
Yeah, basically, we're going to turn into 300-pound obese masses of blubber,
just floating around,
float around on our, floating mobility scooters, suck Slurpees, and do VR.
I was telling him to call you. Yeah, that sounds like shit. So my experience with Google Cardboard was really interesting. I mean, I enjoyed the New York Times VR thing a lot, especially like one of the first ones that they had that I watched was after the Paris attacks. They had, you know, obviously 360 cameras set up at some of the vigils where some of the attacks had taken place.
Oh my God, and that's a pretty intense way to be introduced to VR.
It was great. I mean, it was just people, you know, like leaving flowers and praying or whatever. There was one of this guy who was like blindfolded in like one of the squares that something happened, and he was a Muslim guy, and he was saying like, "I am Muslim," and people were like walking up to him and hugging him. And he was just kind of standing there. Like wait,
I remember that actually. Yeah, yeah, that even showed up on Reddit.
Mm-hmm. That one was pretty interesting. Anyway, yeah, it's a really interesting experience. I think this is a good segue into Google I/O, and just so I know that I'm hitting everything, let me pull something up real quick on it. The reason I say it's a good segue is because they brought up their VR platform there. And how their new platform is going to, I don't know if it's going to release at the end of this year or next year, but they talked about their new VR platform, which is called Daydream.
About what? Wait, what is it called?
Daydream.
Huh.
It's really interesting.
I actually did not hear about this at all.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's built within the next Android operating system, so it's not a standalone app like Cardboard currently is. I mean, Cardboard was kind of their first foray into, you know, an open source kind of thing. And then Android N, you know, obviously the operating system on the phones, this is going to be cooked right into it as an operating system as opposed to it being a, you know, a dedicated app. And yeah, they're basically graduating Google Cardboard to this Daydream open source VR platform that's baked into Android operating systems, and they're going to work.
Is there a hardware component that's going to be kind of like the Nexus line? And, yeah,
so they're working with OEMs to make sure that it has like all the appropriate phones that will be sold, at least all the premium ones, have the appropriate like peripherals on them, the appropriate sensors. And they're also selling a kind of an Oculus Vive-like headset that comes with it. And then there's like a little remote thing that acts as the controller that has a little touchpad on it.
Huh. But is there motion tracking?
Yes. So it's kind of like this Wii-like thing that has 15 like different ways to interact with games. And this is just a prototype for now, what they've showed. I don't know if this is going to be like consumer-facing stuff. I think this is dev-facing stuff for now. But yeah, it's a little like... Like imagine like a Wii like remote stick wand thing. That's what it is. So yeah, that's pretty interesting. I found that fun. Also, they are. I mean, what's been rumored for a really fucking long time is that they're coming out with a new messaging app that they've been working with.
Oh really?
Yeah, they've been working with carriers on it for like 1 or 2 years at least thus far. It's called Allo, as in like hello with an A.
Hey, that's how you spell it in Turkish.
Oh yeah,
Allo.
Well, this is double L, but yeah, same.
Allo, allo. You are talking to Berk. Yes. Do you want to talk to Berk?
You should go to hijabdate.com.
Oh, or do you want to go to Plenty of Falafel?
Plenty of shawarma.
Oh, I love shawarma. It tastes like a beef.
On that note, so what's interesting about this messaging app is that it's tied to your phone number, kind of like iMessage is on iPhones. And they're enabling end-to-end encryption. So default...
By default?
Default, no. What by default, you don't get over the pipe encryption. You know what I mean? Like you get encryption on the ends, like on your phone, but you don't get encryption on the like delivery, right? By default, but
wait, what do you mean? The clients or the recipient side doesn't encrypt it after it's delivered.
So like, it's not encrypted over the. The network, but it's encrypted like that's default. It's encrypted on the phone but not over the network. And then they have like what's called incognito mode that encrypts fucking the entire thing. So you can have like an incognito conversation if you're going to share dick pics with someone.
See, Daniel, the difference between you and me is that my first thought for applications of this was drug deals, and your first thought was dick pics.
I mean, I'm a sexual being. What can I say?
I am a sexual existence. That is why I am on Love Habibi.
LoveHabibi.com. Burkas only.
God damn. I slit Mitch.
Oh God! Okay, we just lost our one Muslim listener.
Yeah, our one. We lost 50% of our audience with one joke.
So yeah, this app is really interesting. Alongside this Allo app, they're also releasing one that I think is meant to be used in unison called Duo, which is strictly voice calling, which again is would be their competitor to say FaceTime, because it's tied to your phone number. Much like FaceTime is. And
I just don't understand why they would split that functionality out of Hangouts.
That's what I'm confused about. These two apps seem great, but I don't understand why you didn't just update Hangouts to work really well and behave like these two apps. I think it might have something to do with the fact that that'll probably make Hangouts like fucking immense as an app, but I don't really know.
Yeah, it could be an iTunes situation where they don't want to end up cramming a million different kinds of functionality into a single app and just nuking it.
Yeah. So I mean, like, so yeah, Duo is the video companion to Allo or Allo. So there's this feature called Knock Knock, which sounds both potentially like / fun for video calling and potentially like awkward. So what it is like,
knock knock, who's there, bitch?
Yeah. So imagine what you just did, except less hey, obnoxious and in a digital
setting.
No, Dan. No, I'm ignoring you right now because Dan. I want a drink.
I got something for you. It's a shot.
Oh Jesus. Let me pour it.
Take the shot.
I'm taking the fucking shot.
Take it in the ass.
I'm not doing that.
Well, neither am I, to be fair.
Okay, let's go. 3, 2, 1. Drink.
Ugh.
It tastes like dirty burka from Rihad.
All right, man. Tone it down. Even for me, that's like, ooh.
Even for the atheist Turk,
we're losing our other viewer, the one who doesn't give a shit.
Okay,
so you know it's dire.
It's been dire since episode one.
Yeah,
let's be honest. We're doing this for us.
We're probably going to like drink ourselves into a stupor as celebration for getting our first download ever.
That's right. Although I did
say that's about as far as it'll go.
Hey, on SoundCloud we have like 5 listens right now.
What? Well, you did you listen to our episode 5 times?
Not on SoundCloud. Maybe on my podcast app. I don't know if it counts it. Okay. Talking about Duo though. So Duo has this the video app that Google's coming out with has this feature called Knock Knock. And what that does is say I'm calling you. What it is you'll see on your screen as I am calling you, like, you'll see me as it's ringing. So you'll see, like, what I'm doing. So I could be, like, waving at you, and you'll be like,
oh. Or furiously masturbating.
Or, yeah, maybe I'm fucking with you. I'm going to do that. Of course your mind went there, you chat roulette browsing motherfucker.
I actually know people who have met and dated because of chat roulette.
That is fucking disturbing.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Names will not be named, but essentially one person moved to another city after they met on chat roulette 3 or 4 years ago, and they started dating.
And they're listening right now.
No, they're not the type of priestful to listen to this.
Good. Good. I don't want them to, because I just insulted the shit out of them. both those apps are coming out later this summer, which is interesting. And then so another thing that they announced that's pretty big is that they're in the spirit of graduating their products, like they did with Google Cardboard to Daydream, they are graduating, as it were, Google Now / people also know Google Now as OK Google for some reason, because that's what you say to it.
Why?
I don't know, but people call it that. So Google Now or OK Google, whatever the fuck you call it, the name is Google Now, you're wrong. Don't call it OK Google. they're graduating Google Now to this thing called Google Assistant, which seems like they are just like they've already been winning the assistant war against Siri, and it seems like they're going to just blow Siri out of the fucking water with this new
update. This is some Carthage shit. They're not just winning the war, they're salting
the earth so that they can't grow shit. They're like, fuck you, motherfucker. No civilization for you ever. Yes, that's what, yeah. So, other than like, to the demo, they just made it look like it was really useful, but I don't know any actual like fucking like facts about it.
Well, that's the purpose of Google I/O, right? It's not like providing details; it's building hype.
Let me see if I can pull some details from this article because it was really interesting. Back in 10 years of language processing. So what was interesting is they're kind of starting to implement what you're super into, the like machine learning into it's something between like machine learning and a bot that isn't creepy, that'll have a conversation with you and then like look shit up for you as you ask it things in that conversation, which is really interesting.
Yeah. I mean, like to begin with, voice recognition is a type of machine learning.
Right.
It's just the models have been trained in advance, and they're just being applied on the fly to whatever language or you're speaking or whatever things you're saying.
Yeah.
So it's computationally really cheap. But if they're doing that for each individual user, that's actually pretty crazy because they're essentially going to have to train a model just for you.
Right.
So this special snowflake you.
A continuation of, you remember last year Google came out with on Android that function Now on Tap, where when you hold the home button, it'll scan the screen or whatever you're reading for information and look shit up for you.
Yeah, I never used it, but I am aware of it.
Mm-hmm. I use it sometimes. So like hypothetically, like the use case that they used all the time was like, hey, let's like say we're talking about a movie like The Martian, and you know, I hold it and I ask, you know, like it scans it and finds The Martian, and I'm like, who's in that movie? And it's like, oh, you know, Matt Damon and blah blah. Matt Damon
and no one else.
Matt
Damon.
Yeah.
So, you know the story behind that, right? Why his character was
like
mentally handicapped.
Retarded.
Yeah. It's cause like initially they made the puppet, but they thought it came out looking kind of retarded, so they just changed all its lines to a single
phrase. That's awesome. That's great. I never knew that. I just
Yeah. It's, I mean, he had like a, in the original script, I think he had full lines, but they just thought his puppet looked stupid, so they made him say his name over and over again.
This is the retard puppet.
Yeah. I mean, this is the dumb one.
Yeah. So this Google Assistant thing is kind of like the natural progression from Now on Tap, right? It's taking that aspect of like reading the text on your screen and giving you like information in a contextual basis to conversational. And then obviously, you know, in typical Google fashion, it ties into like all the shit you use, which is awesome. That's really interesting. And then so that segues into one last thing that I wanted to talk about from Google I/O. Which have you looked at the Amazon Echo at all? Like, have you seen anything about that?
I mean, I know a little bit about it in that like it's very natural to interact with it. But beyond that, I don't know much about it.
So it's supposedly. I mean, I listen to a lot of like tech pundits on podcasts, and supposedly from their experience, it's this thing that's in your house, and when you it's kind of like the Google Assistant thing where you feel as though you're having a conversation with this machine that's giving you a lot of information that you enjoy gleaning from it. But the way it's situated, the way the mics work, and the way that it's situated in your home, apparently to a lot of people it feels like you're just talking to your house as opposed to talking to like your phone. Like,
oh, that's, I don't know, man. That sounds kind of creepy.
It's kind of some house shit. I know.
Yeah,
it's also, you know, treading some water there with the NSA,
yeah,
treading some lines. But the point being, as a service, it's really fucking useful. Like it's just as an experience, as a user experience, it's really nice. So I bring that up because Google is coming out with their own like little cylindrical thing that does the same thing that they're calling Google Home, I believe. Let me double check. Just so I know that I'm right, just for me, really. Yeah, Google
Home. The key thing is that it's a cylinder.
It's another little like cylindrical device with a bunch of like an array of microphones and a big speaker in it that performs the same function.
It looks kind of like a salt shaker, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's a big ass salt shaker, like the size of.
In fact, literally on their homepage, they have a salt and pepper shaker next to it. Really? On the first thing.
Would you see. Google it? Let me see.
Hold on. Yeah, go to, there's like home.google.com.
They really put in, oh fuck, you're right. It's right next to the show. That's hilarious. So this, I feel like, is a natural evolution, or it should be if it isn't, of that router that was a similar shape that they released. That dope ass router.
Yeah.
The OnHub. Which I'm totally going to get when I move in with Sadie in a couple months.
I've been looking for something to replace my Airport Extreme because I despise that thing.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that was going to be good because it was sold by Apple too, and I got my mom one, and it was just a nightmare to set up those routers.
It's my issue with it is less the setup and more to do with – so one of the issues I've had with Google Fi is that it doesn't update text on Hangouts, like SMS texts, when I'm in my own home on Wi-Fi. It's been really spotty.
Is that a fault of the service or a fault of your Wi-Fi?
I think it might be to do with the Wi-Fi because I've talked to Thomas, my roommate, and he's also had issues with Wi-Fi on non-Apple devices. But Apple devices all work perfectly with it.
Of course, because Apple's going to fucking prioritize them.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's exactly what's happening.
Yeah.
Because I got it because of the 802.11ac support because I've got the gigabit internet at home and I wanted a router that could support that. But it's really been pretty mediocre. Also, an issue I've run into is that you can only set it up from Apple devices.
Yep.
Like if you try the traditional method of like logging into it via the gateway IP on your browser, it just rejects the connection. You have to use the Airport utility to set it up.
Which brings up on the OnHub, the Google router, you can prioritize any device and give it priority on bandwidth, which is really cool. So like your gaming machine or your Netflix streaming machine, you prioritize that thing. It has a really simple app to navigate and set all the settings. It's really cool. That's how the OnHub works. That's not even what I was just talking about. That's just something last year that I really want. Hey, I have something that you should know.
No. I didn't want to know that, man. This is not information I wanted to prioritize.
The bandwidth for this app or this shot is...
Yeah, I don't want tequila bandwidth on my stomach.
Okay, let's take the shot and get it over with. You ready?
Oh, no, I need to pour it. I was downstairs. The tequila's upstairs.
Hurry the fuck up.
My name is Daniel, and I don't like drinking.
I'm an alcoholic in training. This podcast is how I'm going to get rid of those training wheels, my friend.
Oh, God, yeah. We're going to move on to full-fledged, like, we'll do a session of AA and then come home to record.
Yeah.
Apologies to any of you that struggle with addiction. We're totally trivializing it. Because it can be kind of funny.
It can be. But it's not. But it can.
3, 2, 1. Tequila.
Why? Why am I drinking this garbage?
Woo! Woo! On a Tuesday night, no less.
Yeah, I have work tomorrow.
Yeah, I do too.
Yeah. Hey. Yes.
One really cool thing to talk about, I think, would be Google's, on the theme of Google shit, TensorFlow. Have you ever heard of it?
Yeah, of course.
Really?
Yes.
Dude, I would not have heard of TensorFlow if I wasn't subscribed to the machine learning subreddit.
Yeah, it's their machine learning open source language. Or not language.
Yeah. It's actually really fucking impressive. But it is. So until now...
It is a language, like a programming language?
Yeah. So TensorFlow is implemented primarily via Python as a Python module.
Okay.
And what it does is essentially like Python provides the outer layer, like the interface for it. But TensorFlow does a lot of its shit in a much more basic programming language. I'm not sure which one, to be honest with you.
So TensorFlow isn't the programming language.
Yeah, it is. Well, TensorFlow is a module for Python. It's not a programming language.
What does that mean?
What you do in Python... Huh?
What does a module mean? Like a library?
Yeah, so essentially, you know, Python is a language that's very modular. There's a million different libraries for it that you can load as modules, and those modules will have different functions that you can call. So, for example,
TensorFlow is a library for Python.
Yeah. So, for example, one way a module would work for Python in a non-TensorFlow context is something called matplotlib. Matplotlib basically ports the plotting functions of MATLAB to Python. And so what you'll do is you'll import matplotlib as something, and then you'll call the plot function from that module.
Right.
So in the exact same way, you call TensorFlow, you set up variables, you set up a learning method and a cost function that trains the model, you provide a data set to train on, and then you train it using TensorFlow.
So then TensorFlow has a different like syntax than Python altogether.
No. It works within the Python syntax, but it has its own way of speaking to it. You know, you're not using the exact same methods you use in Python to develop a machine learning system, because you're passing all of these ideas to TensorFlow, which implements them much more efficiently than you could implementing it yourself in Python.
Right, writing it out.
TensorFlow sets up all this shit in a more basic programming language that it passes to your CPU or, which is one of the biggest strengths of machine learning, your GPU.
Right.
That's actually pretty crazy. Machine learning is much more efficient. Like, if you go to any place that's serious about machine learning, they don't use CPUs. They use GPUs, commercial ones, like the Titan X or the GTX 1080. Because
NVIDIA's,
They offer like massively parallel processing, because that's what video processing is for games. And it's this weird overlap of consumer needs and practical necessity for machine learning models.
That's fucking awesome. Yeah. So I've been like surprised that you're surprised that I know about TensorFlow. I know more about it than any other non-programmer.
That sums it up pretty well.
Yeah, because I don't program for shit. Unless you consider it, HTML and just markup, not programming. And I don't do JavaScript. So yeah, I don't code. HTML is coding, but it's not programming. Anyway.
Essentially TensorFlow is this really neat, intuitive way of implementing machine learning models. They even have a graphical interface where you can set up visually whatever network you want to train.
Oh, I love whenever really like something implements a good GUI for the first time. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's crazy because machine learning is very hard to understand unless you have a visual reference. Really? It's one of those things where, you know, it helps so much to have a visual indication of where your input weights are going, where your output weights are going, and how your cost function is being trained.
So
this
is all just indicator that Google is becoming Skynet, right? All our dreams are coming.
Yeah, a little bit. Open source Skynet, man. Yeah.
So the world
TensorFlow is open source, which is really cool.
Yeah, of course. Okay, so I have a few things to say to that. I have three things. First off, I wanted to finish talking about Google Home real quick. So the Google Home thing, it's meant to, in a way, compete with Amazon Echo, and that you're talking to it as an assistant, much like Google Now. You know, so it's going to have that Google Now on steroids that is known as Google Assistant, and then it's also going to be like kind of like Chromecast on steroids, where it'll connect to your Chromecast and play whatever you want. So you talk to it, and then, you know, your Chromecast will pull from your phone or your account, your like Netflix, and then play whatever you're asking for from Netflix or YouTube or whatever. So that's dope. And finally, it also serves as kind of the nexus. For those of you that
you don't clever know, motherfuckers,
I made that up. The Nexus is the phone that Google has, but it also is a word in the English language. it serves as the nexus, as the center point of Google's framework for Internet of Things, like Nest. So it's serving all these purposes at once, which is really interesting. What I want them to do is take that and then mix it with the fucking router, and it'll be this like super duper awesome thing. I want both in one thing. That's just me. Anyway, yeah, so that's that. And then the last thing that I wanted to talk about from Google I/O is something that's super, super interesting as well. They call it Android Instant Apps. And this idea was introduced before, but Android N, the next operating system that's coming out that has yet to be named.
By the way, what do you think is going to be their confection of choice for naming this?
What I've heard, I follow this guy, and you do too, Burke, MKBHD on YouTube.
Yep.
And he, I saw his video, kind of gave the synopsis of I.O., and he was saying that they put up a website where people can submit whatever name they want, whatever confectionery treat. But what he was saying was like, they probably have just like decided what they want already, and once someone submits it, they're going to make it look like, you know, like, oh, that one, you know. Like, they probably are.
My guess is either nougat or Nutella.
Yeah, Nutella. The problem with Nutella is that, like Kit Kat, they'd have to get the license to use the name, because Kit Kat, they license from Kit Kat the name.
Yeah, of course. But I mean, we both know who benefited more from that relationship. It was fucking Google. I wouldn't be surprised if Kit Kat paid a nominal fee just to say they did.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I think like Kit Kat probably sold a little more because of that. But that, you know, that being said, nougat, I don't know, whatever. It's going to be like nougat or Nutella.
Daniel-san, yes. I have some interesting news for you.
No, it's not time for shot.
But I think it is close, Daniel-san.
We're like a minute out. I'm looking at the timer.
Man, it's been 51 minutes since we started the podcast, and our first shot was within 50 seconds of starting.
You want to call it now?
Yeah, fuck it.
Okay, I'll stop my timer.
Boop, 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 boop.
All right, let me pour it. Ah, fuck. Okay.
I can hear the bottle.
My new fancy mic, dog.
Which mic did you get on Amazon?
I bought a, let me see, it's by Audio Technica.
Oh! That was partly the tequila, but mostly, that's a great brand, man. I had no idea you bought an Audio Technica mic. How much was it?
I just took the shot. Hold up. It was. I thought you took the shot before.
No, I was just burping up tequila juice.
Oh, I thought. See, I rushed because I thought you had taken it.
No. How much was it?
It was $80, or like 78 on Amazon.
70. You should send me a link to it.
I will.
Because
then we'll have matching phallic shaped objects near our mouths.
Also, because so are you familiar? This is my inner headphone nerd popping out again. But Audio Technica makes like the entry level audiophile headset for basically anyone who wants to get into it, and that is the ATH-M50 or M50X.
I just bought earbuds that were on Mass Drop that were pimped out by a bunch of people. Like thousands of people bought those earbuds. It was the Hi-Fi Man ones.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I got earbuds for $35, free shipping.
Yeah, I've heard good things about the Hi-Fi Man ones, but I haven't bought anything from Mass Drop ever since my Infinity keyboard refused to come in on time.
Let's not get into that.
Yeah,
that's a sore topic for Burke.
It is a sore topic for me. I'm fucking butthurt about it.
They boned you in the butt with a keyboard, and you're like sad Burke.
Inside sad.
Sad Burke is sad.
I cry inside of my heart. I go weepy.
That's why you go to Love Habibi to find.
Then I go to Love Habibi and I find my Habibi.
The burka for me.
The burka for Burke. Okay. Books, a burka.
Anyway.
Oh man, if I ever started an Islamic dating website, I know what I call it.
Wait, can we provide context for people? Because there is zero context. So when we were in Turkey, which we didn't do a podcast that I'm kind of sore about.
Yeah, me too. I'm sorry.
You better be, bitch. Anyway, we were in
Turkey. Fuck you!
And,
you took my goodwill apology and you shit all over it?
I step on your apology.
I step on your apology.
I commit a seppuku. Okay, anyway.
I cut my intestines out.
Oh, we're starting to get drunk.
I was there two shots ago.
So context for why we're hating on Muslims. Sorry, Sherry, if you're listening. I love you. not my ex. Fuck you, Sherry. Sherry Tucci, not Sherry. Sherry Alzira, if you're listening, you can suck my left nut.
You're really airing your dirty laundry, aren't you?
Well, Burke and I were in Turkey. We discovered this dating site called Love Habibi, which isn't explicitly geared towards Muslims, but because the word is Habibi, Arabic for like my boo or whatever.
Yeah, basically.
It's mostly the Middle Eastern world.
It just sounds so racist.
Yes, it does. It sounds hilarious, is what it sounds
like. It's as if someone who wasn't a Muslim came up with a site and they're like, oh, let's call it Turban Date.
The point being,
or any of the other dozens of names we came up with.
Yeah, so while we were talking about how funny Love Habibi was, we were just texting back and forth all these awful names like Burkas Only, Two Burkas, One Sheik. Shit like that.
That was you, man.
Plentyoffalafel.com.
Plenty of falafel.
Sultan Front Finder. It was just weird. We went to town. You liked when I did Islets Only.
Islets Only, man. That was great.
Plenty of falafel was probably your best.
Haramdate.com.
Oh no, yours was your best one was Ashley Haramison. That was pretty good. Oh god. Okay. As we all know, this isn't Haramkila. This is Tequila. So let's go back.
I vote for one to develop a spin-off podcast called Haramkila.
Welcome to Haramkila, where we shit on the Muslim culture.
Technology from the ISIS perspective.
Oh god. Yeah, we might get killed by ISIS if we do that.
Google IO. Oh man, I want to bomb them all.
Oh god damn it. Okay, so last thing from Google IO that I want to bring up that's really interesting. They've mentioned it before. I don't know if it was at Google IOs, but they've mentioned it before in, you know, all the multitude of videos and shit they do. This thing called Android Instant Apps, which is super interesting. The way it works is the example they give in the presentation is actually a really good one. So the woman who's presenting is like, B&H has an amazing app, but I don't keep it saved on my phone because I don't shop for cameras every day. But let's say I go to the Google search bar, like one often does in Android, and search, you know, for X bag, X photo bag, and there's a link to the B&H site. Instead of loading the B&H site, what they're doing now is they're going to serve you just a small portion of the app upon clicking on that link. They'll download just enough of the app that they need to show you that bag, and then you can check out and, you know, pay with Android Pay.
But it just sounds like you're downloading the whole app.
No, you're downloading like a very, very, very small percentage of it. Like,
but I mean, really, like, think about it. You know, an app is 90% back end and 10% front end.
Right, and you're not downloading the 90% of that back end. You're downloading like 5% of it.
So what happens if you try to click away to one of their suggested bags based on that?
Then it has to download more, I think. I'm not exactly sure of the absolute details, but I know that what it does is provides a deep link, and if you click on one thing, it'll only serve you that portion of the app. That's what I know, as opposed to downloading the entire app on your system.
This sounds a little bit actually like Chrome OS.
In what do you mean?
In that, you know, a lot of this stuff is hosted in the cloud and you download it as you need it.
That's true.
Like, think about it.
It is that idea, that like philosophy for sure. I mean, I see what you mean.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, maybe this indicates that, you know, 10 years down the line, we're not going to have any software actually hosted on our phones. Our phones are really going to act as conduits for a cloud-hosted operating system.
I could totally see that. I mean, that's another topic that people talk about is Google was rumored to be killing Chrome OS, but I don't think they would because it's wildly successful, especially in schools right now. No. If you go to, like, high schools use Chrome OS a lot.
But is that enough market share to keep them afloat?
I think so. You'd be surprised how many schools are buying Chromebooks, dude.
Yeah, but on the flip side, how much does it cost to maintain Chrome OS?
I imagine not much because most of the services they're maintaining Chrome OS. Like, without Chrome OS, they're still going to have docs and shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true.
Like, either way, they're going to be maintaining those services. And those are the main ones they use. Chrome OS is really interesting in that business model, because especially like in an education setting, if I can log on to any computer and have access to all my like notes and shit, that's awesome.
True that.
This is the first time you have like nothing to say.
Yeah, I mean, I, to be fair, my initial thought when I think of Chrome OS is how much I can't do on it.
Oh, I agree. Look, I'm not using it. I'm a power user just like you. I need like,
yeah, and that's the thing, right? It's like I'm looking at this from the perspective of someone who needs a lot more than a basic operating system can provide.
Agreed,
but for the vast majority of people, Chrome OS really suits their needs.
Yes, and that's I kind of. I mean, like, Sadie has to program shit, so I don't recommend it to her. I have, and then she's like, but I need to program in R, and I'm like, oh,
well, that is, I guess, the question, like, does Chrome OS have command line access? Because if you do, and there's enough memory, you could theoretically install like, RStudio if it's a Linux distribution.
That's true. I don't think they have, like, huge processors or RAM.
No, they have terrible on both ends, right. Both memory, processors, and storage.
And the point is that it has like literally no storage. Like,
but I mean, I guess the biggest weakness for the everyday person is the necessity of internet access. And I think that's going to change as time goes on.
The supply is going to change?
Well, I mean, the supply of internet access, yeah. I think absolutely. It's going to become more of a given.
Yeah. I agree. 100%. God, but what sucks is the fucking oligarchy of internet providers we have in this country right now. Just
yeah.
Shit.
Yeah, it's absolute garbage. Like, I'm forced to get service from AT&T right now just because there's very few other providers. It's either AT&T or Time Warner.
Yep. Here it's Comcast or what's called RCN, and I don't know who owns RCN, but just because it's not Comcast, by virtue of not being Comcast, I go with them.
Yeah. Yeah, it's terrible. It's kind of like how Grande serves Texas, but nobody trusts it, even though it's literally piggybacking off of Time Warner's network.
Yeah, yeah. At least it's not Cox Digital Cable. That's a thing.
Oh, yeah, you like Cox? I got Cox for you.
Oh, man. Creepy Burke, ladies and gentlemen. He's made an appearance. God damn it. Okay, so one last thing that'd be interesting to talk about is, that I've heard of, is that it is time for another shot.
Oh, God. So, fun fact, I'm out of tequila. I actually just drank the last of the bottle with that last shot, so I have been sipping on a beer since our last shot.
So,
chug.
Do I have to? What do I do?
Oh, I'll just chug.
Should I shoot? I guess I should shoot if you're gonna chug a beer.
Chug.
Fuck. This is becoming frat kilo, ladies and gentlemen.
Line up the girls, ladies, bruh.
Man, that was a great frat boy impression.
You'd think I'd be able to do a better one given where I went to school, but no.
Yes, where we went to school.
True.
Welcome. Welcome. Sneak that in there. Let's do it. You're gonna chug?
I chugged already.
Chugged already. Well, I guess I have to shot right now.
Yeah. The funny thing is, chugging is even more pleasant than taking a shot of tequila. That says something about our choice of liquor for this fucking podcast.
No, dude, I normally love taking shots of tequila as opposed to literally any other liquor, but not when it's añejo. Like, I can't do shots of whiskey. I'll sip on whiskey all day. I'm not shooting it. And añejo has a similar, I don't want to shoot this kind of thing like whiskey.
Fair enough.
For me personally.
Hey, would you be interested in Fractured Space, by the way? We're getting into the tequila overtime section of this podcast.
Is that game where you just fucking fly through space hauling cargo all the time?
No, that is Elite Dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
Or Eve, depending on which one you're talking about.
Both?
Right. It's funny that this is a genre and not a single game.
Last Google thing, and then we can call the podcast.
All right, all right.
Clearly, I'm just here to suck Google's penis because I'm a fanboy.
Yeah.
I mean, I love some Apple shit, but I love Google shit too. Anyway, one rumor I heard, or I read online, is that Google is considering making their I forget the code lingo for it, but making the language in which you write their like first level apps in
API,
changing that from Java to Swift.
Swift. Well, it's probably because of this giant fucking lawsuit involving them and Java.
Yes. yeah. Okay. So
I wonder if it could have anything to do with that.
Quick background: Swift is what iOS apps have been written in. I don't know if it was since the beginning of the iPhone, but it's been.
No. I think Swift was implemented within the last 5 or 6 years, not even more recently.
Yeah, I don't think it was the first iPhone either. But point being, Swift was what iPhone apps were written in recently, and they, I think a year or two ago, open sourced it, which is all Google needs to be able to legally use it. And so the people who own the Java language, the Java programming language, Oracle, have sued Google for making money off of Java without their consent or without throwing them some cash, even though they changed like the API, having it's hard to explain because I don't know much about how API
essentially
works.
What the courts ruled is that API falls under fair use because it is publicly available,
right? Which is all that they're using is the API.
And I mean, you know, if Google's been burned by that, they definitely want to cut their losses in case an appeal by Oracle ends up being successful and requires them to pay damages in the order of billions of dollars.
Yeah. Plus, other advantages is that you know, Java is relatively old language and Swift is relatively new. Swift is way less verbose, meaning that it takes way less wording, less syntax to like do more. So that's an advantage. Also, I mean, like, a lot of people know how to program in it.
Yeah. I mean, it's, I guess it's kind of a mixed bag. Everybody learns Java when they start. That's one of the basic programming languages for every CS course.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it really is kind of antiquated from what I understand. I don't know any of it. And so I can't really comment on it. But maybe the fact that I don't know any of it is really a good indicator of how relevant it is.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, with that, we can call it.
All right.
Just wanted to bring that up.
All righty.
Word.
Well, peace, bitches.
Peace.